Thank you, Thomas, for leading us in those songs. Thank you, men, for your responsibility in leading the congregation and worship services. And thank you, all members that are here and all visitors as well. Appreciate your attendance this morning as we gather together to worship God. Again, I read that scripture I started at the beginning of worship service with in Hosea 8 and verse 12. God says, I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. We have to recognize that oftentimes the world will think it strange that we do not run in the same discourse that they do. God has always recognized that he is different and distinct, and so too is his law and his word and his practices. And that is one thing that sets us apart from the world. But the subject that we're going to talk about this morning, what is wrong with the prom, indeed is considered as a very strange thing to say in our world today, because it is so prevalent and so done throughout this world. Every year our teenagers get a reminder of the dance of dances, right? That everybody that is somebody will be attending. We'll be asking what is wrong with the prom, and in essence, we're going to be asking ultimately what is wrong with group mixed dancing in general. Because I realize there are homecoming dances and winter dances, and as you get out of high school, there are clubs and fraternities that have their parties and their dancing as well. There's even dancing that takes place at weddings. Sadly, as in more recent years, more liberal-minded brethren have started to incorporate that in their weddings. America loves dancing. Dancing with Stars is a popular show in America and throughout the world. It certainly illustrates man's love for dancing. Now, let me clarify at the beginning. We're talking about group mixed dancing, which includes romantic and sexual energy. One may dance for joy in their home after their favorite team has won their game, right? Or friends jump for joy when they graduate high school or college. These are examples of physical expression of joy and gladness and release, similar to what Miriam and the women did having crossed the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15 after God saved them from Egypt. These are apples and oranges with the prom and school dances, fraternity and sorority dances, or Dancing with the Stars, which is meant to generate sexuality and lust and romance. Now, they may not intend it, but such dancing indeed produces it. It's like squeezing an orange inevitably produces orange juice. It's just what happens from that. And for a young Christian, the prom is one of the first times that they face this question. And it can set them on a trajectory in their future as well as for their own kids' future as well. So I'm not trying to over-exaggerate. I'm telling you that there is gateway practices. We talk about gateway drugs, meaning that it can lead to more harmful drugs. Well, the prom is a gateway dance leading to more destructive and sexually risky behavior in one's future. So we want to address it. What is wrong with the prom? Well, first, do you notice no one usually asks what's right with the prom? And no one ever states what is morally right with it. Proverbs 11 there and verse 27 is a great passage for us to think about. In Proverbs 11 and verse 27, the Word of God states, Proverbs 11:27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. God's desire for us is to seek things that are right, to seek out the good, and to not seek out that which is evil. And people usually ask the question because it's what's wrong with it? Because evidently it doesn't manifest itself as something that is good or right. For example, whoever asks what is wrong with reading the Bible? Nobody. What is wrong with helping your neighbor is asked by no one. What is wrong with being a good son or daughter? No one asks that. It's because reading the Bible, helping your neighbor, and being a good son or daughter are evidently right things. It is things where we have a feeling that they could be wrong. Or our conscience is awakened and alarmed and unsure if it's actually right. We have an inkling that it leans maybe towards the dark side that we have to ask, well, what's wrong? Instead of saying, well, here's what's right with it. There's a good passage in the Bible that should help us with this. And I think ultimately it would end all discussion. Unfortunately, it won't for us this morning. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I did the same thing that I did in Bible class. It's supposed to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've got 2 Thessalonians on my mind a lot today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there verse 21 says, to test all things. And notice, hold fast what is good. Those things that are evidently right, we want to hold fast to those things. And then verse 22 says, abstain. That is, withhold yourself from every form of evil. So things that are evil, obviously we don't want to do. But even the things that have a form of evil, or the mold or the pattern of evil, we withhold ourselves from those things that lean, like I said, to the dark side. See, James 4:17 was never said in connection to the prom. You know what James 4:17 says? To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. No one's ever said something about that regarding the prom, because it doesn't come across as morally right. So just some food for thought there. It's not going to be our main argument in the discourse. Second, we want to understand what is wrong ultimately with group mixed dancing in general, because a prom is a dance. First, dancing incites sexual passion before its time. In Song of Solomon, there you see a great book of wisdom that is ultimately all descriptive of marital love. Love between a husband and a wife. And the joy and the fire that needs to be lit there. But notice that fire is lit in marriage between those that are wedded for life. And some of the description given here by the Shulamite, which was the woman of the Song of Solomon, as she speaks to other young maidens, virgins, those that aren't married, she describes ultimately embraces and holds that certainly are mimicked in dancing. And she says, be careful that you don't do this before the time comes, which obviously is in marriage. So in Song of Solomon chapter 2, there verse 6, she said, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Now listen to her words. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. She's talking about that marital love, that sexual type love. And she describes the hand behind the head and the other hand embracing. Again, embraces that are very familiar in dancing. Again, in Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 4. Scarcely I had passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go. Again, embracing that could be done in dancing. She's describing this embrace, not letting go, until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that is these virgins, these unmarried girls, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Be careful, she says. You see, these kinds of holds incite sexual passion. And they can be done in marriage. But outside of marriage, she says, don't do that. Not before the time. You can even look in chapter 3, verse 11, where she talks about the day of his wedding. That is her beloved's, to her, to him, and the gladness of his heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 22, there we see Paul acknowledge the reality that there are some lusts that youth will be more prone to. And so he says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So young folks may think that we're picking on them, and that's not the case. As I mentioned, there's dancing that can be done by older individuals in other occasions. But often it's the prom where they first are tempted with this youthful lust. And also at this stage of life, it's a well-known scientific fact that the hormones are indeed on high alert and raging. And it happens to be a time where youth often go much further than just the dance after the dance. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, Paul gives Timothy, the young evangelist, this advice. 1 Timothy 5:2, he says, you treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with all purity. Don't do something with them that you wouldn't do with your own sister. Right? Not until you're married. You treat them with all purity, he says. That doesn't take place on the dance floor. I'm sorry to report and say it's just true. In Hebrews 13, there, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's where one may be able to express themselves sexually with their partner in closeness and in these embraces that was spoken about in Song of Solomon. It's in marriage. And hold yourself till those times. The Bible talks about self-control. It's a primary element of one that wants to be a servant of God and a Christian. Jesus said, let a man deny himself. So we've got to hold back those embraces, those actions, those dances until we are alone with our marital love. Further, what's wrong with group mixed dancing in general is that it's condemned by the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn there together. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read those. Galatians chapter 5 begins in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Remember we talked about at the beginning of the first point, things that are clearly evident as right. Well, he's saying you can do the same thing with those that are the works of the flesh. You can say, hey, you know what, these are evidently wrong. That's why I'm asking what's wrong with it. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, he speaks about, in this first category, sexual transgression, sexual relations outside of marriage. But at the very last word in that list, lewdness, it also includes this concept of these sexually enticing embraces accompanied with movement. The Greek lexicon by Thayer's, he translates this word in lewdness. Your version might say licentiousness or lasciviousness, as absence of restraint and decency, tending to produce lewd emotions. Now look at this. These are his words, not mine. Indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. This unchaste handling, the unchaste referring to sexual handling, the sexual suggestion, inflaming those passions. In essence, what the woman, the Shulamite, was talking about in Song of Solomon, if she was unmarried. That's why she says, daughters of Jerusalem, you're not married. Watch out, don't do this. But then we see Thayer's includes in there indecent bodily movements. There's another word here in Galatians chapter 5. And by the way, I'd say it goes without saying that indecent bodily movements includes the dancing that goes on in proms today. In verse 21, there's another word that includes dancing, and that is the word revelries. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God is telling us ahead of time that heaven will not be occupied by people that do these things. And he even says, and things like these. So he said, revelries and the like. That word revelry, Vincent's Word Studies says singing, dancing, and all kinds of frolic after dark. Sounds like the prom, doesn't it? McKnight, Thayer, Little, and Scott, those are four different Greek scholars, says this word conveys an atmosphere where drinking and dancing are being participated in, usually after dark. So again, you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of those that have studied the original languages much more than I have. So there are two words, at least in this list of the works of the flesh, that include dancing. Group mixed dancing. And then he says, and the like. I think we could certainly say the prom is like this. That it tends to produce lewd emotions. That it has indecent bodily movements. That it has unchaste handling of male and females. That it is all kinds of frolic after dark. Right? Proms often have a before and after party where young people will begin to drink drinks for the first time in their life, and sometimes by the very aid of their parents, where drinking and dancing are being participated in, usually after dark. And God says, and those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, we ask what's wrong, not what's right, because we know that this is its fruit. It's not like the fruits of the Spirit that read in verse 22 and verse 23, faith, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness. Those are evidently right. What I want to do next is give a brief history of the prom. I found this online. The history of the prom. Prom is probably the most famous school event in any town in the United States. It has been highly publicized as the best night of your life. Many know that the prom events have existed for decades. However, they have actually existed for more than 200 years. Now, it is true that it's changed, it's metamorphosized a lot. The article went on to talk about at the beginning, it was just the boys and the girls were actually separate, and they would attend the dance with their parents. Actually, there wasn't a dance at all. It was just called a formal for the longest time. Later on, dancing's included. Later on, then it becomes mixed, and now you have what we have, what's going on today. Continuing in the article, the 1950s also paved the way for the most promoted part of the prom, the king and queen. The royal court became a way for fellow classmates to judge their peers based on three main categories: beauty, poise, and popularity. The king of the prom was the title given to the most masculine, popular boy at the school. The king of the prom competition was clearly humorous. However, the queen of the prom was highly fought over. The queen was that one girl who was destined to become the, quote, perfect woman in the future. I ask you, are these things that in and of themselves may not necessarily be wrong, but is it as Christians that we want to be heading towards or looking towards to be the fighting over this kind of accolades to be the king or the queen? I hope not. But of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? The next paragraph. By 2012, the average family spent at least $1,078 on their child's prom. So you do the math. If there's 100 kids that go to the prom, that's over $100,000 every prom. In the 2000s and 2010s, it also showed the rise of the promposal, a highly publicized proposal for your chosen partner to attend the prom with you. By 2013, so this is 10 years ago, the majority of schools nationwide finally lifted their anti-LGBTQ bans on students at prom, allowing them to go to the prom with their chosen partners. And so things like this are no longer strange occasions anymore. Now I want you to ask, tell me, if there's no romance or sexuality involved or attached to dances, then why would we think it's so innocent for heterosexuals but not for homosexuals? Right? Stands and falls together. But for young people, it is a tremendous event with tons of peer pressure. You're either in or you're out. And you can feel left out if you're on the out. But we have to learn to seek to be pleasing to God over our friends. As Hosea said thousands of years before, yes, it's going to seem like a strange thing to them, but it is the will of God, the law of God. Parents, you know what I mean? You and me, we may have to be the bad guys in all of this, and be prepared to be the bad guys. We can even tell the kids, hey, just put the blame on us when you talk to your friends. But one day they'll remember, and they'll be prepared to be the bad guy with their kids one day. Another encyclopedia said a promenade dance, which is where the word prom comes from, commonly called a prom, is a dance party for high school students. It may be offered in semi-formal black tie or informal suits for boys and evening gowns for girls. The event is typically held near the end of the school year. There may be individual junior, 11th grade, and senior, 12th grade proms, or they may be combined. By the 2000s, the clothes girls wear to prom have become more revealing due to the influence of celebrities and the mass media. Again, is this something we want to be a part of that the world recognizes? By about 23 years ago, it got worse and worse. The world itself recognizes the history of dancing involves sexual stimulus. Here you have Collier's Encyclopedia said the social dance has usually been the result of joint physical exuberance and sex stimuli. The Encyclopedia Britannica said enjoying the pleasure of dancing, physical pleasure in the activity of dancing, and sexual awareness of the partner, whether embraced or half consciously observed. So the Encyclopedia Britannica recognizes the sexual awareness of the partner. Dance We Must, a book in the 50s, says we find this same sex motive in the modern ballroom dance. It is legitimate opportunity for contact. So it's not just the dancing that goes on today, the twerking and the grinding and all that kind of stuff. Back in the 50s, they acknowledged even the ballroom dances had this legitimate opportunity for contact and sex motive. Now, the Bible tells us to be children of light, that we are finding out what pleases the Lord and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's why we're having lessons like this, so that we don't have anything to do with these fruitless deeds of darkness. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, let alone even what they do in public. So these are words from the Bible, but those encyclopedias, well, those are words from the world. And if that was true back in the 60s and 70s and 50s, how much more so now? In preparation for the lesson, I read an article from a preacher, and he said that his wife used to work at a middle school. And in the middle school, he said the dances were getting so bad that the principal, who wasn't a Christian, but he finally said no dances at all Because the youth at a middle school age couldn't control the type and style of dancing that they were doing. Imagine at the high school age then. Well, third, what are some other reasons that the prom is wrong? Let's look at some biblical principles that I believe are violated. First, Christians are not to be a stumbling block to others. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 shows us from the words of Jesus how important this principle is. In Matthew 18, verse 6, it says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." I wish I might be able to have some kind of prop up here for you to be able to see what a millstone was like in the ancient days. How heavy, how dense it was. For it ever to be tied around someone's neck and then to be thrown to the sea would snap their neck first before they ever hit the water. And Jesus describes this deadly process as being better than for you to try and cause someone to stumble into sin. Oftentimes, girls who don't have necessarily the same hormonal level or balance as the males don't see this as a problem. They say, "I'm not going to lust after the guy." And yet then they often wear dress that is low-cut back, low-cut front, long slits up the side, very revealing. And they don't realize they are, in essence, being the stumbling block to those young men. And Jesus describes what would be better than that. Whatever we do, we need to seek caution to not lead others to sin. And it's clear in the Bible that the way we move our body or touch and hold another can do that very thing. And to do those two things together to music can do that for sure. I mean, we shared abundant encyclopedia evidence that shows that is true. And so when on top of that, we add the immodest dress that reveals the flesh, even the sight of the flesh can cause one to lust. And Christians cannot do such things and expect to be pleasing to God. It's really hard to choose pictures that I could put up here to show because of some of the dresses. And so I just chose more of this general picture right up here. Another principle is that it's the opposite of fleeing youthful lusts. Right? Because the prom is one of the highest rates of teenage pregnancies out of wedlock out of all the year for high school students. And God's told us to run the opposite way, to pursue righteousness, love, and peace, and to flee youthful lusts. Proms become the time of many firsts. The first adult social event for teenagers. The first time taking the family car out after dark. The first real dress-up affair. The first time they drink alcohol. And often then it's naturally then fits for many boys and girls to be the first time for a sexual encounter. Further, it puts one in evil company while doing the actual evil. I realize we live in the world. Paul said you can't leave the world. We're in the world. But we don't have to be with the world while they're doing their worldly things. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we did a lesson on that a few weeks ago. To avoid evil company, because it corrupts good morals. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are not to be conformed to this world, just trying to fit in with everything they do, especially the worldly things that they do, but to be transformed. James chapter 1, there verse 27 says to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it's not to see how close to the line we can get or how many little dots I can have and not be spotted, but to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Yes, I realize someone might say, well, I'm going to go to the dance, but I'm not going to dance. But would you want to be at a place then associated with group mixed dancing? There are dance clubs in Bowling Green. There's dance clubs in Nashville. Should Christians go to those places to socialize and watch others to dance, as long as they don't dance themselves? What we have to realize is that we can become guilty by association. Paul even said that. That he was guilty of the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 22, verse 20. Even though he never threw a stone. He's saying, I was guilty by association. I was holding the coats of those that were doing it though. And we can become guilty by association. By being with evil company while they are doing the very evil itself. You know, we quarantine a place when there's toxic danger. We've all seen on the news with the train wreck and the toxic chemicals released and people had to evacuate. They quarantined that place off for a time. Chemical spills shut down highways. They've done it here on Highway 65 before. It evacuates cities because there's a danger by being in its vicinity. The same is true spiritually. Some places are toxic to the soul. They're dangerous spiritually. So why send our youth into a place that might tempt them and harm them? And then last for this morning, what's wrong with the prom is that it hurts the God of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there verse 7, Paul was giving the warning to the brethren there at Corinth. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. He's speaking about in the Old Testament. In particular, Exodus chapter 32, verse 19. And he says, as is written, that the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. That's that word that we just cited in Galatians chapter 5 with the works of the flesh. The American Standard Version adds a footnote saying, or to dance. It recognizes that's what was going on there. That's what they were a part of. They were worshiping an idol, but also, in essence, worshiping themselves, giving themselves the pleasures of life to eat, to drink, and to indulge in revelry, dancing. God saw all of that. He told Moses, get down there and restrain the people. It hurt him that they would turn on him like this. He had created man to honor him with their bodies. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 we just read. Instead, they were using them for their own passions and ungodliness. And that hurt him. He wants us to choose him. And to choose him means to choose his holiness, his character. To be set apart, which means to be holy for his service. But if you go to a dance, you're going to see exactly what I mean. Everything that I've said here this morning. You'll see clear immodesty. You'll see clutching and pressing and grinding and embracing. Awakening love before it pleases. You'll see movement to the music with ungodly lyrics. You'll see loads of people that have chosen the broad path, the accepted path by the world. And it hurts the God of heaven. There are many, many other ways to have fun and to enjoy being a youth. In fact, the Bible says to rejoice, O young man, in the days of your youth. But remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Do not forget your God, nor hurt your God who loves you more than you know. Rather, let your light shine in the darkness. Be distinct, be different, just like Jesus was in his day. I pray this gives you some guidance and help as to what the Bible says about dancing. What's wrong with the prom? Many, many things. God once said to his people, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. He says that today to us through his word. Yes, His law may seem like a strange thing, but it's because we are so different from the world, because our God is so different. It's the only way to please Him. And I might add, it's the only way to influence people that you are different than the world. When we talk the talk, and then when we walk the walk. May God bless every young person here to do that very thing. And may God bless every parent here to lead the way for their children. And may God bless every member here to remember these teachings and share them with others. Thank you for your attention this morning. If you're here and you're not a child of God, would you consider repenting of your sins? We're so glad to serve a faithful God that is so good and abundant in mercy that He wants to forgive us of all of our sins. Some of us have participated in these things in the past. And we can look back and say, you know what? I did wrong. I harmed others. I was a stumbling block. I committed in sexual sins that were shameful. And God was not pleased with that. And I'm brokenhearted. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that He doesn't leave you in a broken heart, but that you bring your broken heart to Him in repentance, saying, I cast away those sins. I don't want to do them no more. And if you have that repentant heart and you're willing and ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you can become His child. And if as a child of God, you've gone away from Him, astray from Him, maybe not been as serious to the Word of God as you know you should, and have gone weak in your faith, maybe you've been tempted by the arguments of the world, I hope, friend, you'll stop listening to the one who tries to lead you astray, and listening to the one that is God who seeks to lead you home. If we can assist you, won't you come while together we stand and sing? Physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to hear. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb, I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name, I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels thy guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.